Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Welcome to the Cash Flow from Land Show. In this episode, Stephen and I talk about how to choose the best area or county to buy property. It's a super hot topic with our new members, so we figured we would tackle it in our podcast. Welcome, Steve.
Hello again.
I love getting to be the host. I got to tell you,
I love it too.
Get a little kind of a big head over here.
It's half the work for me and twice the fun.
It's kind of nice. So I kind of get to be in charge and really run the show. So thank you for addressing this hot, hot topic with us. I know you've been doing it for a long time and you have some great information to share with us. So please.
So here's what happens. A substantial number of newer members in Land Academy and just people in general, no matter where we are, they ask me some version of this. Well, where do I start geographically? Well, can't Steve, please just give me the name of the county, tell me exactly what to do, and I'm going to go make a bunch of money just like you. And so, you know, by answering that question directly by saying, oh, it's XYZ County and concentrate in this area, which I would never say, all I'm doing is hurting that person, you know, because I think that if you learn how to very methodically choose different areas, you're going to have a lifelong career of choosing the right areas on your own. Our whole point here at doing Land Academy is to teach our members how to do this so that they don't need us anymore. You know, after a certain amount of time, you should be able to go off and do this on your own forever. But I can tell you the basic attributes, and we cover this in great deal in our cash flow from land package, our program, which, you know, we're selling tons of those things now, Joe. It's working out great, but this topic is worthy of its own podcast. So I'll tell you some of the attributes that great counties are that I use. And before I do that, I'm going to tell you a real short story about a 2-month-old member who took this to heart, went through all the steps in the program to find an area to work. He sent the mailer out and then he reported back through Success Plant, which is our ongoing kind of, it's our member, forum where we all communicate together. And he sent a mailer out in a county that I've never been involved in before, ever. In a state that I'm heavily involved in, but I always, for whatever reason, just didn't do it. And he killed it, knocked it out of the park. So that's the reason I don't say go to XYZ County. Why would I do that? When he went through the right steps, found his own, and he'll do it again right after this. Okay. In fact, what he said was, and we had him on a podcast, is I'm sticking with this county for a while. Yeah, I sent out properties for a small acreage amount, but now I'm going to do large acreage properties and work it there. Because he got to know everybody that worked at the county, got to know the people, the photographers in the area and the whole thing. So. Okay. That's a long way, I guess, of saying, I'll show you how to, you know, teach a man to fish kind of thing. And then, but, you know, basically here's some attributes of a county that will work. And then after that, I'll describe a county that I don't think would work at all. Low density population. And I show you exactly how to find those maps and where to look for that stuff, through census information on the internet and a lot of different ways we talk about. I talk about it in great detail in the package. In the program, excuse me.
This is the top of your list things to look for. These are the good things.
Yes, these are good things. This is the attributes. Thank you. Okay. The attributes of a county that's probably going to work really well.
Okay. Low density.
Low density population. Comparison sales value on the internet for that area.
Got it.
So go out onto LandWatch, Land and Farm, or lots of different places where they sell these types of assets. And check around and look around and see who's got what sold, see what who's selling properties that you are thinking about sending out letters to, direct mail campaign. That's a huge one. So, and then you want to be in the middle. You don't, if there's 55,000 properties listed in one county and they're all listed for $12, you don't want to probably get involved in that. You want to go, I'm grossly exaggerating. If there's too many properties listed in one little area, you don't want to get involved. If there's too few, chances are you don't want to get involved. You want to get in a nice average kind of scenario where there's just a few properties out there. They're listed. They look nice. You know, that's a big issue. So check your comparison values before you choose that market. Mm-hmm. You want to choose a market. This is key, and it gets overlooked a lot. That seems to be type of a recreational / vacation destination. So everybody in the Northeast and the Midwest wants to vacation in Florida. And guess which properties sell great on the East Coast? Florida properties. Mm-hmm. So if it's any type of vacation destination, chances are it's going to sell pretty well. Northern Michigan for us sells really well. Northern New York sells well. I did a transaction in Maine one time that did really well. Although that's not a, you know, you can't bank on that all the time. I've done several transactions in Canada that with their all ocean view properties, they've done well. You can buy a really cheap property in Canada right now. So what's that? Number three?
So census, vacation, basically compare comps, stats, whatever you want to call it.
And then vacation type destinations do well.
Right.
Any type of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you want to talk about the Canada thing or not? Do you want to just, or is that
another
podcast?
It's probably beyond the scope of this conversation. Canada is, it's tricky to buy. It's not tricky. You just need to, it's different than us. There's fees and assessments and taxes that get taxed right at, we're not used to that, that get taxed right in the deal. So you have to make sure you're buying it right. But yeah, I mean, Canada's a good, for an experienced investor, Canada's a great place to do this.
My perception is it's easier for them to buy property here than it definitely is for us to buy property there, because there's a whole lot of Canadians buying property here in the U.S.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's easier or harder. I think it's actually the same level of difficulty or ease. It's just different. You know, when you go through escrow in Canada, there's taxes and stuff. They tax you right in the deal.
Oh, yeah, we don't have that.
We pay taxes in the tax return and stuff.
Right.
So there's some sticker shock that can go on with that.
Got it.
Another thing that I would, that's really, really important when you're choosing a county or, you know, we tend to choose areas by county because that's how you get the data. That's data is sold county by county, or that's how it gets taxed. That's a taxing entity. A great way to research, and I cover this in the program in detail, is the number of properties that have accumulated back taxes on them. Generally, the higher, the better. So, and where do you find that? Well, you find it on the internet. Or you can review our package. We show you exactly how to find it there, too. So I think that's four key mm-hmm. points.
I think that's awesome. I appreciate all of that.
This is a big topic. New members, they're ready to outlay some money to do a mailer and see what kind of response. And they're very apprehensive. So the reason Jill and I chose this topic is because we want to relieve those jitters or that first, the new member apprehension about, oh my gosh, I'm going to send all these letter outs out and everybody else is successful. What if I do it all wrong and I'm going to fail? There's almost no chance of that if you really follow the directions that we have set out. And you make sure, before you pull the trigger, go in SuccessPlant as a member. Go in SuccessPlant.com. It's the site that Jill and I set up so that you can ask all these questions. And people that are successful with it, 3, 4, 5, 8 months ago, they're in the exact spot you are. Mm-hmm. If you're a new member, going to be a new member, they'll answer all your questions, and they're a really incredibly nice group of people.
We don't say that enough, and this is a perfect thing to do this. And you know what? I'm going to bring that up on our next weekly ambition call, not this one coming, but next, because we'll have one holiday. But we have a phenomenal group of members in our Cashflow from Land Academy world, and I am so thrilled. They're smart. They get it. They follow directions. You know what I mean? And they appreciate our directions. They, you know, it's a two-way street. But anyway, we have a great group of people. And one of the best things about them is they all help each other. And that's the best thing. No question's a dumb question. Everybody's really happy to help them because they were there once. What would you like to add to that?
If you have any questions about it, I mean, if you're thinking about doing this or not thinking about it, or you think it's a bunch of malarkey, go out on that site and ask them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free right now. It's not going to be free forever, but get yourself a username go out there and say, hey, is this a bunch of malarkey?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll answer your question. I send people, the people who are extremely talkative and really have a lot of questions about this, they get to my desk or Jill's desk. Not everybody does. And what I tell them is, please go post this out on Success Plant and ask any of these people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not.
Don't take our word for it.
Yeah. It was malarkey.
Yeah. Ask our people that are out there living it, doing it, and they'll tell you. So it's good. All right. Were we going to talk about the flip side? Is there a flip side?
Oh, right, right. Thanks for keeping me on track.
That's why I'm.
This is exactly what you don't want to do and how you're going to fail. If you send out a bunch of letters to a highly populated area, like let's say Maricopa County and Phoenix, you know, or Phoenix and Maricopa County, or let's say Manhattan, New York, or let's say, you know, a densely populated area where property values are very high, and send a mailing campaign out for $500 a property, you're going to get a lot of hate mail. You get a lot of angry calls back, and probably rightfully so. All it does is it says, I didn't do my homework. I should never have done this. It's silly. Lowballing offers like that, all it does is like rattle everybody's cage. It's silly. Here's another way you're going to fail. Send out some postcards. Send a postcard out that says, hey, I would love to talk. When you have time, we can have coffee together on the phone. We can have a virtual cup of coffee together on the phone. And talk together about a bunch of garbage. Well, maybe you want to sell it, maybe you don't. People hate that, and you're going to get a lot of hate. I hate that.
Wait.
Here's another way to fail.
I was going to say, I think you might get the opposite. You might get the guy that really wants to bend your ear and talk all day,
you know what?
By
that's,
the way.
Jill, that's what I mean. Yeah. You get a lot of people that are really bored that want to call and talk about the property that they own that they think is worth $1 million.
They have no interest in selling. They're just bored.
That's right. So if you're bored, do that.
You have a lot of time. You're not really interested in making a lot of money. Do that.
Here's another way that you won't necessarily fail, but it's going to delay your success. Send a letter out, a colored letter out that looks like, but it's not real. It looks like, and it's printed like you hand wrote it. Okay. One of the biggest misconceptions of our business is that people who own real estate, the sellers that we find, well, they're stupid. They don't get it. It's silly. I covered this in the package in great detail. Give these sellers the respect that they deserve. They're selling their property. They know that they're selling their property to you. And it's grossly undervalued. They just want to get rid of it. They want to check it off their list. They know it's cheaper. They know it's way cheaper. They know they could go spend a year marketing it themselves, or they could call a real estate agent and do that for a while. They know that. They just want to get rid of it, man. It's like an old car in the garage.
Right.
So don't insult them by sending a colored letter. I'm sorry, Jill. I get heated by this concept.
No, I do also.
Silly mailers. Go ahead.
I saved one the other day. I saw.
It's insulting.
It did.
You know, we own a lot. Jill and I own thousands and thousands of properties at any given time. So we get a lot of this type of mail in our mailbox. Mm-hmm. And they're all examples of the wrong way to do it.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and this one was like had a federal warning across the top. And the federal warning was it caught my attention. Like, this is mean. This is scaring some people.
Why would you scare some
and
people?
All it was the federal warning. It's like the general federal warning about stealing mail, you know, kind of thing from somebody. It had nothing to do with what this is about, but they just put something on there to get you to hold on to that letter and open it. Like, that is so not nice.
Yeah, so to flip this around, those are real negative things to do, and we've seen almost all of it, Jill and I. But what you want to do is you want to send an offer with a dollar amount in it, and you want to give them a closing date, and you want to send it to the right people who have kind of demonstrated that they're interested in selling their property. So, but you know, and most of the people are not in the city of Manhattan. You know, most of them are in rural areas. They don't live on the property. Maybe they inherited it, and there's ways from data. Jill and I are experts at manipulating data that you receive from the county or from a data source that we've secured through a title company. We're experts at dissecting that data, deconstructing it, and then sending people the letters that should get letters based on a lot of information. And that's kind of what this podcast is about, how to send it to the right places. Mm-hmm. The other way that you can tell is through assessed value, especially out on the West Coast. When properties are assessed in a certain manner, it's a huge, huge green light for me. And I've learned this through experience that they need a letter.
Got it.
And I don't.
This is a big change. I had one. It was really interesting the other day where I don't usually pay attention to assess value for a lot of reasons with the areas that I'm working in.
Uh-huh.
And the assess value was cut in half in the last 3-4 years. Not kidding.
And because of the downturn?
Yeah. I kind of felt bad as I was talking to the guy. Like, he sent me a screenshot from a tax thing. Well, I went and looked at the current tax thing. And he knows it. No, he knows it because his taxes went down. And I just kind of had to remind him that, did you notice the taxes? Did you look at the assessed value? And it was actually cut in half. I hadn't seen that in that short of time in a while.
Can I guess where the property is without any knowledge of this?
Absolutely. You know why?
Yeah.
I won't remember.
So I can say anything.
Yes, you can.
And you would just say, yeah, it was. Wow, you're brilliant, Steve. You're brilliant. Thanks for the whole thing.
Yeah, that must be
it. It's just a treat to work with you.
I truly
For anybody who doesn't know this, Jill can't remember anything and she can't smell anything. She's like the perfect woman.
Thanks. Okay. Hey, all right. That's perfect. I was going to lighten the mood anyway. We're getting kind of deep here. That was good. Hey, I got two parts in my play, by the way. Two parts in two plays.
Jill's an aspiring actor, too. I bet you didn't know that.
Yeah.
What are the parts?
It's a director's showcase. They are small, one-act plays. So, yeah.
What are your parts?
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Oh, because you don't remember.
I do. I do, but it's detailed to go into it. I'm just very proud of it.
Okay.
Hey, I got two roles. I'm actually in the middle of rehearsing for two different plays, and I'm like having to, you know, put this hat on over here and this mm-hmm. literally this hat on over here and put myself in those positions. It's really kind of fun. So anyway, sorry.
That's an example of you never stop learning.
Oh.
You know? It's great, Jill. We're all proud of you.
What if that's part of our, is it you and me, our mindset? It's just you and me.
No, I think
you do,
you know, I'll tell
too.
You, people, the most successful people in our Land Academy little group here, it's not little anymore, but, you know, they never stop learning. You know, there's no roadblocks, there's only speed bumps. Mm-hmm. So if stuff happens, you just get over it. I love learning new stuff. I mean, I don't like learning algebra, but I love learning about real estate. I love teaching people.
You're right.
This is getting sidetracked, isn't it?
It is. Sorry.
No, it's all right. The host fell asleep, everyone.
Yeah, I'm a great host. No. Okay. So back on topic. So we can wrap this up here. So we covered the things that you really choose, the important things. I have four.
Assessed value is five.
Yeah. Okay.
So what are they?
So
I don't even remember.
The census. Stats, kind of comparable. You have numbers that you can look at. Vacation destination.
Oh, for density. Population, lowest population density is better.
Right. Census density. That's just kind of the same thing. A vacation destination, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last was the assessed value. But I don't, that's where we got sidetracked.
Oh,
sorry.
No, and then there's comps.
I have that in there.
And then back taxes.
I don't have that in there.
Okay.
Okay, good. That's it. So there's a lot of different things that you can use. You don't have to use them all, but I would recommend when you're starting out, use everything and get your hands on.
That's a great point. If you have to pick one, look at comps. Like-kind properties being sold on the internet for how much, and then try to buy them for like 30 or 40% of that, what they're selling for.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we have other podcasts dedicated to pricing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thanks,
any
Jill.
Last things? You're welcome. Is there any last things you want to share with us about counties?
Since we're answering these questions, you think we just never have to answer them again? We can just say, click here, because we did a whole podcast on this topic. Thanks.
You know, I like this, though.
It's
okay.
I'm just joking.
But, you know, and things change, by the way. Who knows what, you know, what's, here's an interesting thought. What is this going to be like 10 years from now? Have you really? I have not thought about that.
I have.
Okay.
And I think that you're going to be shocked and amazed at the, of how expensive this asset type is forever. And
really?
Since before the internet, these properties, no one knew about it. So there's, and there was no way to sell it. And that's why everybody thinks, who the hell would ever want to live out in the middle of nowhere? So before the internet, there, you know, what are you going to put a sign on the property or put it in the MLS? It's way the hell out there. That's, no one's going to see the sign and no one wants to go there. Now there's the internet. Mm-hmm. So we're in like literally in the first inning, not literally, but we're in the first, very first part of this rural asset type. I think that the more technology increases, and I think it's going to be, you're going to be amazed at how expensive these properties are.
Because of demand.
Yep.
Got it. Well, you know, and two, the number of organizations and businesses that are making remote work environments a normal thing, that it's amazing. That, I think, is freeing up a lot of people. They don't have to commute. They can be anywhere. You know, they need their internet, and that's it.
The other thing that's happened is that there's so many alternative, because of technology, there's so many alternative ways to manage stuff, regular life stuff, like water, sewer, electricity, septic situation. There's all these alternative ways to handle all that. And then there's the satellite piece. You can truly live off the grid for almost nothing, you know, and the way that you grow, the way we grow crops and food and stuff is all different now too. So I've said this in other podcasts. If you go out on YouTube and look at these lifestyles that some of these people have, they've had it with their jobs or whatever. You can just, you know, it does not cost a ton of money to buy a nice piece of property somewhere, buy a used truck or whatever, and start, you know, growing some vegetables. And there's a lot of I'm shocked at the number of people on YouTube that are filming themselves, you know, with this lifestyle. And, you know, we hear it firsthand because these are some of our retail customers they can't wait to do it.
We know, I just thought something else funny. Remember when Professor Miller asked us to come in and teach? We've been asked.
Go ahead.
NAU, Northern Arizona University, has a satellite campus down here in Phoenix area. And one of the professors has reached out to us and asked us to do a series of it's a business program. It's a 400 level business class. So that's like a senior in college. And when you're so these guys are almost done ready to graduate. Anyway, so they've asked Stephen and I to come in and teach some of the classes and bring in some things with our business and what we're doing. One of the things I thought was really interesting was that one girl, she was kind of, you could kind of see her eyes glaze over. She was kind of not getting it. But when we talked about tiny houses, she perked up. That's even becoming like a cool thing. You know, she goes, now I get it.
Yeah.
So for this young 20-year-old girl, you know, in this college class.
You need land to put your tiny house on.
Yes.
And so that's what tripped it for her.
Right.
Everybody's got that little switch in their head where just the light bulb goes off.
Right.
For her, it was that.
Right.
We have an increasing number of people that are asking us to help them buy, they're preppers, you know, helping them buy land for that too. So, yeah. Right.
Did you have anything to say about that with our Professor Miller?
Afterward
thing. That's fun. I love doing that.
Yeah, you know, I think that I really do too. And I think that we should continue to do it even when the series is done. I think it's 5 or 8 appearances that we've committed to. And
right. And
I'm sure that they would have us back because it's fun. We're making everybody laugh. And, you know, it's not like real school where you're just like, oh, right. It's like we throw up our real world stuff. This, you know, you can make a company out of this. And everybody seems to respond to it pretty well.
Yeah, that's fun for me too.
Choose the right location and this will work fantastically well. Just go out on a success plant and ask everybody and they'll tell you.
There you go. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I kind of forgot about that. I just thought about our other teaching gig.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had our class. We got a little break tomorrow. As it turns out, somebody else is. That they need to do something. So
all of our competitors do live events. You know, I don't know. I guess we'll eventually do it. If I haven't never gotten a direct request from anybody to do that. Have you?
Yes.
Have you really?
Totally.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. It's coming.
Oh, okay. So you've been thinking about this.
Oh, it's coming. You don't even know it's in the works. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, you're right.
You have no idea what I've already done on that project.
If you can handle all that and just tell me when to show up and what to talk about, I would really appreciate that. That'd be great.
It's in the works. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And our first one will probably be right here in our backyard because why not? Especially in the beginning of the year, January, February, March. Who doesn't want to be in Arizona? Especially if you're in snow and cold.
It's all making sense to me now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But if you have any questions, you can call Stephen at...
You know that it's 3:30 on Sunday?
I know.
We work too much.
Is it really work?
No, not really. It's fun, but...
Yeah, I know.
I'd like to go have some fun on Sunday night right now.
I think we shall.
Can we?
I think so.
It's good talking to you, Jill.
Thanks.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.